I don't like being constantly challenged. It's no fun, but listen, he has decreed that he's going to make everything that comes into our life work for our good. And what is the good? That we are to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to another edition of Life Talk. Today we are continuing the message, He Restores Me. This is part three on the series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. To introduce the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
This time in our study in the 23rd Psalm, we're looking at verse 3, which begins with the encouraging words, He restores my soul. Again, it's helpful to remember that Psalms 23 is written from the sheep's perspective, and David considered himself a sheep in God's pasture. He might have been a king, but he saw himself as one of God's sheep. We might ask, well, why would David need his soul restored? I mean, he's King David, the great psalm writer and man of God. Why would he write that God is restoring his soul? Well, that's because David was so well acquainted with being cast down in his own soul. It was David who wrote the words, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" David knew what it was to fail God and to be cast down by his own weaknesses. So let's jump right in and follow along with me as I share the message, He restores me. He prunes us, Jesus said in John 15, that we might bear more fruit. Now, if you were to go up to a rose bush that has just been pruned and say, "How did that feel?" What would the rose bush say? Because you just cut some of its branches off. The rose bush would say, "Let me tell you, it hurt. But guess what? I'm going to blossom with far more flowers because I was pruned." The same thing with shearing. He will shear some of the unnecessary wool off of our lives. Anybody been getting sheared lately? Some attitudes that you shouldn't have been carrying, some thinking you shouldn't have been carrying, some relationships that maybe you needed to, deal with, some unnecessary wool. Folks, listen, when Jesus comes into our life, can I tell you, he's going to mess with our stuff. Come on. You're not just getting a ticket to ride one day. Go to heaven when Jesus comes. It's way more than that. When you become his, he said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm going to prune you that you may bear more fruit." And we say, "Oh, that sounds cool. That sounds spiritual. Prune away, Jesus. Be careful what you pray for." Because when he prunes, when he shears the sheep, when he shears the wool, it's a process that can hurt. The correction of the Lord, the chastening of the Lord. When he comes in and says, "This has got to go. This attitude you've been carrying towards people, this victim attitude you've been carrying, or this attitude towards other races, or this attitude towards the opposite gender, or this attitude towards whomever, attitudes towards life, this pity party you tend to throw, this feeling sorry for yourself that you go into so easily, that's going to have to go. Clip, 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 clip." He's going to mess with your stuff, whether or not you invite him to. Because you know why? Because he owns us now. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he's marked us with the mark of the cross and with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We are marked. We are his. And when you become his, you are his sheep. And when you're his sheep, he's going to mess with your wool. Amen? Amen. And I don't like it. I don't like being stretched. I don't like being constantly challenged. It's no fun. You want to say sometimes, "Lord, can you just go love somebody else for a while?" Right? But listen, he has decreed that he's going to make everything that comes into our life work for our good. And what is the good? That we are to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's his decree. So he's going to use everything.
every relationship, every job, every person he's allowed into your life. He's going to allow everybody you encounter on I-35 coming to church on a Wednesday night. He's going to use everything, good, bad, ugly, failures, successes. He's going to use it all to shape and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that means pruning and shearing unnecessary wool. Amen. I'm going to get this CD because I need to hear this. And you know what it feels like? It feels like you're being stretched. It feels like sometimes you can't take anymore. Sometimes you feel like I can't do this much longer. And then he changes the dial, the temperature setting on the dial, and gives us a break, gives us some time. We feed in the pastures. We drink from the still waters. And he says, okay, let's keep moving. A third cause of cast sheep is they simply become too fat. Once they lie down in the soft spot, their weight makes it all the more difficult for them to right themselves and get out of their predicament. So the shepherd will put them on a rigorous ration. He wants the sheep strong, sturdy, and energetic, not fat, flabby, and weak. Now that means our Christian life. See, the application for us Christians is that we too can become spiritually fat and flabby. There are people that go to churches because those churches will never challenge them. They can sit there and get fat and flabby and never worry about being convicted. But it's not God's will that we be fat and flabby spiritually, because we won't make it in the long haul if that's what happens to us. We can have a sense of well-being. We can have a sense of self-assurance that is actually dangerous. Jesus warned the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:17 that considered itself rich and in need of nothing, that they were actually in great danger. He said, you say you are rich and have need of nothing, but I say to you that you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. They had all kinds of material things, so they said, we don't need anything now. But Jesus said, no, I don't look at what you have materially. I look at where you are spiritually. And spiritually, you're miserable, wretched, and you are actually poor. You may have a lot of material things, but spiritually, you're poor. You're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be truly rich. And that's talking about the Word of God. I counsel you to get into the Word of God that you may become truly rich. Amen. I'm preaching pretty good tonight. I like this. This is why our good shepherd will often place us on a spiritual diet of discipline and hardship to knock some of the excess weight off of our souls and firm us up. God has his own gold gym. Oh yeah. As the writer of Hebrews said, look at what the writer of Hebrews said. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord when he moves in and begins to chasten you, correct you, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If the Lord loves you, he's going to chasten you. If he doesn't love you, he's going to leave you alone. But he loves you. How many of you can say, I know that I'm his? Raise your hand. I know that I'm his. All right. Can I tell you, before this year is out, he's going to chasten you. Of course he will. Some of you, just this word I'm sharing tonight is chastening you a little bit. But watch this. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son, every daughter whom he receives. So how does the Lord love us? He loves us by feeding us, taking care of us, providing for us, but he also loves us enough to say, the way you're going is not right. I've got to move in. I've got to correct you. You got too much wool on your life. I'm going to shear it. You've got these habits. I'm going to prune them away. You need some correction. You need some instruction. You need some actual chastening. And so I love you enough to not leave you to yourself. The toughness of life with all of its trials and reversals can only be faced successfully by someone experienced in discipline and hardship. Did you hear me? Yeah. Yeah. See, people say, why doesn't God protect me from these things? Why doesn't he just keep me in a nice little bubble till Jesus comes again? Why would he let these things happen to my life? Listen, the Lord allows hardships. The Lord allows difficulties. The Lord allows trials to firm us up. As the old song said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His Word could do. If God protected me from everything, you know what I would be? I'd be spoiled. I would remain a baby and fat and flabby spiritually. Dog meat for the devil. So He firms us up. He firms us up. He will see to it that His own sheep are fortified in their faith. Everybody give the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? Now, the second half of verse 3 reads, He leads me. Let's read it together. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, this word lead. Remember when it says He makes me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. He leads me beside the still waters. That word lead in the Hebrew language is different from this one. The first one, He leads me beside the still waters, is a beckoning. Come on, come on, come on. I'm beckoning you. I'm calling you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let me get you to the water. But this word lead means He almost forces. He's coming in stronger. He's prodding you. He's saying, come on. It's like you're taking a dog for a walk on the leash, and he decides to stand still and not go anywhere, and you pull. You say, come on, we're going. I'm not beckoning you anymore. We're going. Here, it's more forceful. He's, I want to say coercing me, but He's pushing me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God is saying, for my name's sake, you will walk the narrow road. For my name's sake, you will walk. And if you decide you're not going to walk it, I have ways to get you to agree with me. Amen? Now, here's the parallel. Here's real sheep. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to their own ways, they will follow the same trails until those trails become ruts. They'll graze the same hills until they turn to wastelands. They'll pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites. So no other class of livestock on earth needs more careful handling than sheep. And guess what we are? Sheep. They've got to be moved along. They've got to be guided. They've got to be prodded to keep going to fresh, new places. Can I read that again? That is so good. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a creature of habit. I can so easily get into a rut. Come on, everybody. I can so easily get into a rut. Cindy, you shouldn't have amen me that loud. She's amen to me. But how many of you can say, it's so easy for me to get into a rut? Come on. I'm a creature of habit. I mean, really, this is the way we are. And so God has to come along and He has to move us along with a little bit of pressure. That's why I pointed out that word lead. He's got to use a little bit of pressure or we ain't moving. We've got to be prodded to keep going to fresh, new places or we will stagnate and fossilize. There's got to be a predetermined plan of action, a deliberate plan rotation from one grazing ground to another. And that's not talking about other churches. Well, let's go to this church this week and that church the next week. I'm telling you, when I moved to Fort Worth, and I still see it, I've never seen musical chairs like I see here in Fort Worth. People change churches like they change light bulbs. It's just unbelievable. But that's another topic. See, me, I was always committed to my church. Before I was ever a senior pastor, I was committed. Again, that's another message. But the application for the Christian here is that we're inclined to do the very same thing as sheep. We're by nature a stubborn bunch. Like Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. Now that is a stubborn verse. That verse is alluding to the stubbornness of sheep. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going my way, God. You can talk to me all day long about the way you want me to go, but I'm going my way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. I think that's the worst song in the world because of what it says. That was Frank's problem. He did it his way. If you're a believer, you don't do it your way. You don't go your way. You go his way and you do it his way. All we like, every one of us, there's not a person on earth that hadn't done this because we're born with this nature. We go astray. We drift. We walk away from God, from soundness, from reason, from logic, from common sense. We walk away. You know, there's something really even unnerving about the way a human being will push headlong into a stubborn self-destruction. I see it all the time, pastoring. Just as sheep will blindly, habitually, and stupidly follow one another along the same little trails till they become ruts that trap them and cause them to stumble, we human beings cling to the same habits that we have seen ruin other lives. But we cling to the same things. We go the same way. Have you ever noticed this? Do you study people like I do? I study people. I mean, anywhere I go, I study people. And I read about people all the time. Even when we know that the path we're pursuing is not good for us, we will persevere anyway, even when we know it's not good for us. You ever seen somebody, they're smoking? And I used to smoke. I'm not condemning anybody. I was a Marlboro kid. When I was 16, I quit. But from 13 to 16, I was a chimney. Now watch this. Have you ever seen somebody smoking? They'll say, oh, I know it's bad. I know it's bad. While they're pulling a hit. Doesn't it get you when you go to the doctor and you're walking into the building and you see nurses outside smoking cigarettes and then they go in to see people with lung cancer? But it doesn't stop us DUMB sheep because we do DUMB things all the time because that's our nature. The stubborn, self-willed, proud, self-sufficient sheep that persists in pursuing its old paths and grazing on its old polluted ground will end up a bag of bones on ruined land. Look around you at our sick society, insisting on going its own way and forsaking the good shepherd. Our society is self-destructing before our very eyes. Can I just tell you the truth tonight? Amen. It's self-destructing before our very eyes. America. If you just step back and look at it objectively, look where it's gone in just 40 to 50 years. Look where it was in the 60s and look where it is now. We have put our seal of approval on perversion. We have called evil good and good evil. We have walked away from God and banned him from the public square. We have allowed children to lead adults. We no longer honor elders, respect authority. Again, if you could go back to the 60s, even to the 50s, and look now, our culture is rushing headlong into self-destruction. The only thing that can stop America, save America at this point, is a genuine, God-sent move of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, that's what I'm praying for. And that's what our church is committed to, that we're not only going to minister to the people that come here, but we're going to reach this country with the word of God, with everything that lies within us. But that's the only hope America has. I know that's serious and heavy, but we're in a serious and heavy situation. But the good news is that for the Christian, our good shepherd keeps us on the move. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. This is why Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself daily. Take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Amen. Now, when you pick up that cross and you follow him, you're walking in the path of righteousness. But if we don't daily pick up our cross and follow Jesus in a life of discipleship, we're going to stagnate in our spiritual life. We're going to end up in a rut, not growing, stagnating, fossilizing, not moving forward. So we have to make up our minds that we're going to cooperate with the prodding of the shepherd in order to enjoy fresh pastures, solid growth. How many of you want to experience a fresh touch from God, a fresh move of God, a fresh flow of the Spirit of God? Amen? Well, I guarantee you the shepherd that we have come to and that we're saved by is the shepherd that will always prod us to move along and move down the road, but we've got to cooperate with him. Like Paul said, the grace of God extended to me was not extended in vain. Okay? I cooperated with the grace of God. So let me give you just a few quick things and then I'm done. Ways that we've got to follow his prodding. First, I've got to love Christ more than myself. I want you to read it with me. I must love Christ more than myself. You and I love ourselves. Yeah, we're in love with ourselves. That's part of the fallen nature. We think we're all that in a bag of chips. Some of you look in the mirror and sing, "There is none like you." Now, you may say, "I don't like myself at all," but really, you prefer yourself all the time. You prefer yourself all the time. It's human nature. But listen, if the Lord's prodding, the shepherd's prodding is, I must decide to cooperate with him, to love him more than myself. That means when I'm faced with a decision, am I going to do what I want or am I going to do what I know he wants for me? That's when I pick up my cross and follow him. The cross is not some sickness you've got. God didn't give you a sickness for your cross. That's not what he meant by that. He means when it's a conflict between your will and his will, you choose his will and you die to your will. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the cross. Now, if Jesus had said, "Not your will, but mine be done," we wouldn't be saved tonight. Jesus had to die to himself to ever go to the cross to die for us. Jesus, let me put it another way, was dead before he was killed. In this respect, dead to himself, dead to his own desires, dead to himself. Okay? So we got to love him more than ourselves. Second, we got to be willing to walk alone when necessary. You're going to have to be willing to walk alone. You know why? Because if you stand for him, you're going to end up alone sometimes. Sheep love to be a part of the flock. They love to be accepted. But Jesus pointed out that only a few would find his way acceptable. And to walk with him brings criticism and sarcasm from this world's crowd. And the true disciple of Jesus is willing to pay the price in order to follow the good shepherd and sometimes wind up alone. You got to walk alone. I'm not telling you to go be obnoxious where people, you know, reject you because you're being obnoxious. I'm just saying you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to find yourself alone sometimes. Nobody wants to go that way. So that's the shepherd's prodding. The third shepherd's prodding, I got to be willing to place others above myself. Both sheep and people are naturally self-assertive and self-serving. But Paul said, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another, how everybody, above yourselves. Well, I don't like putting somebody above me. What is the old saying? I'm number one? No, you're not. You're not number one, neither am I. He's number one. Okay? I'm second. Remember that billboard, second, I am second? I'm second. He's first. And so the person who's willing to put others above themselves when necessary is going to be freed from the shackles of personal pride, and you've gone a long way onto new ground with God. The fourth way he prods us, in closing, instead of choosing my own way, I am willing to choose to follow in his way, the way he taught me to live. So I'm not going my own way. I'm going his way. When he says, don't go there, I don't go. Where he says, go, I go. When he says, this is best, I accept it. I learn to trust that his way is always best and always superior to my own way. So I learn to say, okay, I don't feel like forgiving this person, but the Lord told me to forgive them. So I'm going to not go my own way. I'm going to go his way. I'm going to go his way.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue the message, He Restores Me, in this series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk broadcast. Until next time, may God richly bless you.